The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? It's Dr. Dave's, that's right, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3 teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, hopefully before the end of this show. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't, if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? That seems to be the question of the day. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care about that. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Does that mean every question we ask is perfectly spiritual? No, it does not. It does mean that we live life as Christians. And so here's your first question. Let's see if you've got an answer for this. Very challenging for those of us who are older than 12 years. Here's the question. What was your first musical concert you ever went to? I'm not talking about a school rendition. I'm saying an actual concert. What's the first music concert you ever went to? Wow, what a question. If you, by the way, have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, or even an answer, don't hesitate to reach out and give us a call. All you got to do is dial 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like talking to a person you can count on.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, my friend. How are you doing, by the way? How are things going?
It's going good. Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've just been busy, 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 busy. But that's good. I'm feeling a little bit like a B. I need to get to an A, though. That's my goal. Here it is, folks. If you want to reach out to us, you can do it. It's a phone. It won't hurt you. Okay? You can also text us, though, which is still going to be by a phone. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Professional voice coming now. Well, not really professional, but you get the idea.
214-210-8483.
Could you imagine listening to a whole hour of that? Wow. Anyhow, you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, at the A with the goofy circle around it. He must increase from John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. And then .org, because we're a nonprofit entity. That's why. So David at HeMustIncrease.org, or you can text us at 214-210-8483, or you can call us at 972-445-0770. Now, maybe you've got a prayer request, and you're like, you know, I've got this thing going on. I don't know how it's going, or I'm not sure where I'm at in it. I need prayer. I need people to stand by me. I need them to help and pray with me in this. Don't hesitate. We're your brothers. We're your sisters in the Lord, the whole audience. It doesn't matter what your denominational background is, if your Heavenly Father is, in fact, your dad, your father. If you are blood relatives redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if, in fact, you are drinking of the Holy Spirit. And let me say this, even if those things aren't the case, still call. We'll pray for you no matter what. Because we think prayer is the most powerful tool in the universe. By it, the heavens stopped. By it, the dead were raised. By it, the blind could see. Nations repented and changed. Tons of great gifts come from the power of prayer.
You're going to tell me that's going to help society?
Nothing in the universe can help society more than the power of prayer, answered prayer by God. For all those politicians that don't get it, go to the bank, take out a loan, and buy a clue. There you go. Okay, so if you've got a prayer request, don't hesitate. If you've got a praise reports are cool because they reinforce what happened in your own life. They bless other people who hear it. And then they give glory to God, which is, of course, the most important part out of all of it. So if you're in San Diego where it's 11:37, if you're in Denver, 12:37, if you're in Dallas, 1:37, if you're in Detroit, 2:37, doesn't matter. Give us a call. Reach out to us. You can touch base with us. We're glad to do it. I do need people praying about a couple of things. We're going to pray for the audience later on in the 2 to 3 o'clock hour for finances, okay, for everybody, because everybody can use a nice little touch. But we are also need to know what the next books are. We've got 3 books that we're coming to a close in the next 6 weeks. So we need to start getting people's opinions, thoughts, and ideas. I always pray about it, but I like to hear other people's insights. It's always fun. Gives me some idea of where people are at. We are going to include Revelation in one of those. Just not sure how that's going to go about, but we're going to do it one way or another. Additionally, I want to make sure everybody's just praying. We've got some projects we've been working on. Very, very cool projects. I'm getting closer and closer to being done. I will announce them as we move into them. Now, let me say this. If you've got something you want to share, maybe the Lord's put something on your heart. Cool. We think it's great. We think encouraging one another is the way to go. Hebrews 10:25. Encourage one another as we see the day of Christ getting closer and closer. We'll get into Bible trivia. I started a new type of trivia yesterday. We're going to keep some of that going, but also add another new trivia. So, yeah, you better stand still. You better stand still. You better be ready because it's coming. It's coming. In the meantime, let us backtrack a little into the Word of God. I want to make sure we go through this just a little more thoroughly. We were in Matthew chapter 16, and if you'll remember, we talked last week about Jesus mentioning that he was going to give the keys of the kingdom of heaven so that whatever was locked on earth would be locked in heaven. Whatever was opened on earth would be opened in heaven. I want you to understand something because this is super duper important. I'm going to pull on my doctorate Dave hat real quickly. When Jesus said this, "Now I say that you are Peter," which is Petros, "and upon this rock," which is Petra, "I will build my church, and the power of hell will not conquer it." We talked about it a couple weeks ago that Petros, single rock, Petra, a rock bed. So it's our confession, our lives, our existence, all of us together. That's what Jesus is building the church on, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And then he says this. He goes, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Whatever you open on earth will be opened in heaven." And there's people that have an entire theology saying, "Oh, he said that to Peter. See, he said the word, I give to you." Wrong. In the Greek, that "you" is plural. Nice try. That's the "you people" kind of "you," meaning all of you. not just Peter. So the people that have come up with this idea that it's all based on Peter don't know Greek. Period. Sorry, can't help you. Additionally, okay, any doctrine that says the church can tell people who can come in and not come into the kingdom, that church has lost its mind. You don't decide who gets saved. You're not the author of salvation. I don't decide. We do it. God does the saving. That's the only way it goes. So I just want to make sure you understand that premise, and that also what Jesus said, he said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I build my church. All the powers of hell will not conquer it, which is really, it's the offensive of the church, not the church being on defense. And I give you the kingdom, keys of the kingdom. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven, or whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's not whosoever, but whatsoever. It's not about people. It's about the power and the manifestation. And some of that, and I love some of these teachings, some of the locking has to do with people who are struggling with getting free from addictions and demons, and that's the unlocking and the locking the enemy up and the unlocking of the person by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what Jesus was talking about. I mean, that's just so cool. But that's not the big teach. I just had to get that out of my system. Because every once in a while it just drives me crazy. Here we go. Then he goes, then, and this is verse 20, Jesus sternly warned them not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And you got to sit there and think, why would Jesus say that? And I'm going to give you a direct, most direct answer in the world. Because there is a right time to share. And there is a right time not to share. That's why we do this in partnership with God. You don't just go around blasting people because they don't see things the way you see things. That's wrong. But then the events change.
I want you to know.
Remember, Peter, oh, baby, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who doesn't want that? That's what I said. Yeah, that's great. Verse 21, from then on, from that moment on, after Peter gave that great confession, Jesus said, I want to build a church with all you guys. Look at this, it's great. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that he had to go to Jerusalem, and he told them what would happen to him there. He would suffer at the hands of the leaders and the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and he would be killed, and he would be raised on the third day. First of all, that's the gospel. Just in case you're trying to figure that out, Jesus would suffer. He would be crucified. He would be resurrected. Check out 1 Corinthians 15, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for a reference point. But this is where it gets really deep. Jesus begins to speak very plainly to his disciples about his impending death. It's important to note he doesn't share this with every person, specifically with his disciples. He starts to describe the events that will unfold, painting a very grim picture. This is difficult for many people to comprehend, but Jesus was warning them about the dangers that lay ahead. The Christian life isn't all Skittles, rainbows, peanut butter, joy, and happiness. He informs his disciples he's going to have to suffer at the hands of the leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the law. And then he delivers what had to be, for all of them, the most shocking news they've heard. He was going to be killed. Remember, they've left everything. They're following this guy. They're all in. But he's also going to be resurrected on the third day. The disciples... listen to what I'm going to tell you. The disciples, not fully understanding the concept of eternal resurrection, might have found the idea that Jesus being killed, they might have found that idea very disturbing. What do you mean you're going to? We followed it. We're doing everything here. You're going to die? It could have led them to question whether all their efforts had been in vain. This is a feeling many of us can relate to, doing the things for the kingdom of God, trying to do the right things, trying to follow the right way, and then you hear something like that, and you like go, well, what, I do that for nothing? I gave all that effort into all that time into that project or into those people and everything, and that was for nothing? Number one, it's never for nothing. The Lord is much better at using resources than you and I. Number two, it does not escape God's notice. Even your frustration in those things doesn't escape his notice. It's okay. He's with you in it. He's going to get you through it. And so it's very important for us to grasp where they're at and what's going on. Because when we get into this next section, I'm just going to say this super nice. I'm going to be super nice about it. How about that? We get into this next section, and we're looking at verse 23 and 24, in these next verses. You're going to find out something happens that's incredible. And we'll just read it ahead of time, and then we'll break. Jesus, now here's what Jesus does. He's telling them, okay, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that he had to go to Jerusalem, and he told them what would happen to him there. He would suffer at the hands of the leaders and the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, and he would be raised on the third day. But Peter took him aside and corrected him. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Wow. I'm going to pause right there. Get ready for our triv question. And just think about the power of that. Like, what? Okay, here we go. Trivia question. Let's see if you guys can get this. Listen to the question. It should help you figure out where the answer lies. Okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you right now. Okay? All right. Where in the scriptures is this? And then I will read it and give you three opportunities to choose. "Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he also struck the water, it was divided this way and that way, and Elisha crossed over." Is that in Esther chapter 2, verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14, or Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4? Is that in Esther, 2 Kings, or Hebrews? "He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. He struck the water and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over." If you think you know the answer, whether that is in Esther, 2 Kings, chapter 2, or Hebrews 7, just give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website and tell you all the stuff about it. There are forms there that you can fill out for praise reports. There are forms there that you can fill out for prayer requests. Plus, there are free brochures if you want to get them and pass them out to people. Up to you. Plus, there's a place to give. 2 Corinthians 8:3, "For I testify according to their ability and beyond their ability. They gave of their own accord." That's how you got to be giving. Okay, if you can do so, great. If you can't, don't sweat it. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
I want one of those. I'm just telling you right now. I want one of those for many of the things that I say that I want to take back after I said them. That's why I want one of those. See, then I push the button and it just goes right back in my mouth. And you know who thinks I should have one of those? Noel. You want to press the rewind on that there, Dave? Yeah, okay, I do. Thanks.
Hey, might as well be honest about it. All right, our trivia question, we do have somebody on the line. Our trivia question is simply this, not even that complex. Where in the scriptures is this? Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Is that in the book of Esther, the book of 2 Kings, or the book of Hebrews? We do have somebody on the line, so let's give them an opportunity to answer the trivia question. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Michael.
Michael? Hi, Michael. How are you?
Better than I deserve.
Better than you deserve. You see, that deserves a pat on the back, because that is a great statement. Every good thing we have is beyond us ever earning it. It's all by the grace of God. That's awesome.
How about 2 Kings 2?
That is 2 Kings 2 is the correct answer! Excellent job. Yeah, that wasn't in Hebrews at all. And then Esther, wrong book. This is just wrong place altogether, not the right place. Excellent. Is this your first time calling in?
Yes, sir. I haven't heard your voice in a long time, and I found you on the radio. I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, bro. Bye-bye. All right. Thank you, Michael. Great job. We love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Right? Okay. All right. Now, get ready. I'm trying to do this in the nicest way. Get ready. Okay, because this is Peter and Jesus. Here we go. By the way, I taught this message in a Methodist church. You'd have thought, oh, I just wanted to tell you. All right, so here it is. Peter took him aside and corrected Jesus. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus, verse 23, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap for me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's point of view." Oh, man. Just recall, 10 verses prior, Peter had given one of the most profound acknowledgments ever, affirming that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yet within moments, Peter pulls Jesus aside and insists he will not die. He's correcting him. This little section encapsulates so much, not the least is the idea that when we get one thing right, we often assume we know everything. Can anybody relate? You get one thing really good, really done, really smart in the Lord, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, it's me, yeah. Another key takeaway is how quickly one can go from the moment of triumph to a moment of humility. How bad is this? So Peter, first of all, he's correcting Jesus. Does this seem like a bad idea before anybody gets any further? "I'm going to correct you, Jesus, because I had a really good answer. Now I'm going to tell you the way it's going to go." So Jesus, in his kindness, does not evaporate him, which he probably could have. But the point is simply this. He says to Peter, he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from the human point of view and not from God's." In other words, Peter was so wrapped up in the humanistic element, he could not see the divine, and Jesus connected that to Satan. Uh-oh. That's right. Jesus is on a mission, and nothing is going to deter him. And he turns to Peter in front of the other disciples, mind you. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap." A trap that Satan was setting for Jesus using Peter, using an emotional pull. Do you hear that? Satan was trying to set up Jesus using Peter with an emotional pull. Just remember that when it comes to parents, siblings, children, friends. Ooh. Jesus clarifies that Peter is only seeing things from a human perspective, not considering heaven or eternity. Ouch. What does this mean? This means it's a stark reminder for all of us that when we operate on the human plane, and on the human plane only, instead of the divine plane, we quickly give Satan an opening. Oh, man. and fail to see the things from God's perspective. And where does Jesus label this as the source? It's the enemy. Oh, no, it's just being humanistic. No. When it comes to humanizing the divine mission, it's satanic. Oh, I got to say that line again. When it comes to humanizing the divine mission, it's satanic. And he said, Gip, now I want you to know, you just had to know after Peter goes, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." How good did that feel? And then Jesus surrounds us, "Get behind me, Satan." How good did that not feel? That's how far pride will drop you in a moment. And listen to the specificity. I mean, Jesus is so, he's just like targeting right there. You are seeing things just from the human point of view. When you do what you're doing in any industry, whether you're in sales or marketing or service, whether you're in politics, teaching, whether you're in anything like that, in government, anything, if you only see from the human point of view, that's bad. Jesus tells you, no, that's bad. You're connecting to the wrong source. Wow. All right. Now, if you're in San Diego, or if you're in Denver, or if you're in Detroit, you can hang out by going to HeMustIncrease.org and click on the Listen Live button. If you're in Texas, relax, take a deep breath, taking a short little break. We'll come right back.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem, or creation itself, crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.